Hello and welcome. We've been trying to do this intro for at least, I want to say, 2 minutes now.
Yeah, I think Sam's just a bit rusty today, guys. You she just can't get it out.
Making funny faces at me. Or interrupting
like,
me.
You guys can't see it, but I'm mouthing what she's saying. Like, I'm doing the intro with her. And
it's really annoying.
It's making you laugh, though.
It's childish.
Well, you're a child for laughing.
I am. But welcome back to another episode. Today we are here with myself, Samantha.
And Lucas.
As always, there's no one else over here.
It's always going to be us, guys. You should know this.
Nothing exciting here. But for today's episode, we are going to be talking about posing. What are you doing? What is wrong?
I'm thinking of my win of the week.
Oh, you haven't thought of your win of the week yet?
I haven't thought of my win of the week.
Okay, well, how about I do my win of the week while you think of your win of the week? Or do we need to give you a second to think about it?
Nah, you do your win of the week. Tell me what your win of the week was.
Okay, even though you're not going to be listening because you're going to be thinking of your win of the week.
Absolutely, but all of our amazing listeners will be tuning in to your win of the week. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Is you guys.
Oh dear. Okay. So, as I was saying, today we are talking about all things posing. But first, as always, we're going to dive into the win of the week. Lucas is going to take 5 seconds to figure out what his win of the week was. But my win of the week, well, then we can't have a discussion about it because you'll be thinking. That doesn't make any sense.
Just tell me what your win of the week was.
But then do you know what your win of the week is yet?
There's just so many wins. I just can't choose one of them.
You know what? Maybe don't think about it. When we get to you, just answer it on the spot. And whatever comes out of your mouth, well, that's your win.
Absolutely. We can do that.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, my win of the week was going to an event and not drinking, which was last night's event.
Okay, and you felt pretty good about it.
Felt really good about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to drink or not because it was one of our friends' birthdays. So I did bring 2 drinks just in case.
How did those 2 end up? But no, so, babe, I saw those at the end of the night. They were empty.
They were empty.
Hold on, you said you didn't drink.
I didn't drink them.
What do you mean?
Someone else did. not Lucas either. It was someone grabbed them and drunk them. I forgot that was a thing.
If I turned around on the table. It was like, because no one else was drinking her drinks. And I saw one of them empty. And I was like, I haven't seen you with a drink.
No. I had a Pepsi Max. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, so an empty one of your drinks and you drinking a Pepsi Max that wasn't yours.
Yep. That's what happened.
I was so confused.
But yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to drink last night. As we mentioned last episode, I'm not going to drink much this year. I'm not going to say I'm going to go sober because I know I'm not going to. There's going to be events that I want to drink
at.
Yeah,
you got to be realistic.
But I'm just wanting to cut back on drinking this year.
I like it.
So last night I was a bit unsure if I was going to or not because it was one of our friends' birthdays. And, you know, that's a celebrating thing. So I was like, oh, we'll see how we go.
Yep.
Took 2 drinks with me because I was driving and got there. I just didn't feel like drinking.
Yeah.
I just did not have a urge to drink them. So I just kind of left them on the table. And then at the end of the night, I said, oh, where are my drinks? And they were empty. So whoever drunk them, you're welcome.
And also thank you for keeping Sam
yes.
on track.
Yeah, thank you as well. Like, you never know. Maybe it was just like the universe being like, no, you're not drinking. No, that's gone. That's dead to you.
Someone was like, I feel like Sam's got a goal this year to reduce drinking. I should drink her drinks.
So, yeah, didn't drink. And I actually feel really good about it. Woke up really bright, really fresh this morning, which I know in the past I'd feel a bit, just not 100%, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, today's turned out great. We woke up, we had some breakfast, we uploaded our podcast, went to the gym, both had an amazing session.
Yeah.
Whereas if we went hard last night, that wouldn't have been the case.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're here in good spirits recording this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, I just felt really good about it.
I love it.
So, yeah, not trying to be completely sober, guys, but just trying to not drink as much.
It also proves that you can have a lot of fun without alcohol.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun last night.
Yeah, you don't need to use it as a crutch.
Mm, exactly.
Awesome, I love that.
Yeah,
that
was a good win.
Cool.
What about yours? What's your win of the week?
Nah, my win of the week was comparing where I am now to where I was exactly 1 year ago. So I took a photo the other day and compared it to one of my check-in photos last year, exactly 52 weeks ago. And you don't realize this sometimes until you actually put the photos next to each other. But there was a world of progress that I have realized I've added. So a lot more muscle mass, staying leaner at this point in the off-season as well. And everything is just trending in the right direction. And that gives me a lot of positivity going into this off season that's just started. I've got pretty much got the whole off season ahead of me now. But just seeing how much progress I made last offseason, it gets me extra G'd up to dive headfirst into this offseason. Because I'm like, oh, if last year I made this much progress, this year I should make that much. And then some, everything's dialed in a bit more. You learn a bit more. You know how to navigate the waters a bit more efficiently. So seeing the 52-week change comparison the other day, that was my win of the week. I didn't realize that was as substantial as what it was until I actually viewed the photos.
I think it was a massive win for you, though, because your shoulder had the injury, which we spoke about last week. But yet you've still made lots of progress. I think that was a really cool thing to see in your photo.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried about that because I haven't trained upper body for 2 weeks, like zero pump, like muscles probably flat as hell. And still saw pretty dramatic changes.
Yeah, it's good. Well done.
Yeah, very happy with that.
Both killed it this week, we did.
Yeah, there's always something to celebrate. And, you know, I feel like everyone should sort of have that reflection as well. Like at some point of your week, whether it's on a Friday or whether it's over the weekend on a Sunday, just kind of look back. You don't have to write it down or anything, but just kind of think, like, what did I do this week that I was really proud of? Because it's so easy to get in your head about things. Oh, like, yeah. I should be doing more, or this person's doing better than me. You know, pat yourself on the back. You know, you're probably doing something that you are proud of, but you're just not open to receiving it is as exactly that. So just look back and I'm sure there's something you can pick out that you are proud of.
Yeah. Good advice, babe. Well done.
I like to think so. I try.
Let's chat about posing, shall we?
This week it is all posing.
Yes. We thought this was a very important topic to talk about. I don't think we've spoken about it properly on this podcast.
No, we touch on the fact that we're both posing coaches. And
we've doubled.
Yeah. There's certain points that come up in other episodes, but none dedicated just to posing. Obviously, Sam and I are both posing coaches for the males and females. And there are certain things that we notice aren't as common as they should be with people's approach to posing that we want to touch on in this episode.
Yeah. So I think let's chat about the first thing, the most important thing, which is the importance of posing, why it's important, all those things. So you can kick it off because I feel like for guys and girls, it's different.
Yeah, and I've seen that because I see your girls that come to you, how early they come to you, just how often they're seeing you as well. Whereas I feel like with guys, it's a bit more lacking than the girls. The girls are really onto it. You get girls, what, a year before they're on stage?
Even more, 2 years.
Yeah, to get their foundations down.
Yeah, I love it when girls come a year or more before.
I think it's fantastic.
They're my favorite. No, I don't have favorites, but like when they come to me and say, I'm not getting on stage for another year or more than a year, I get so excited for them because I'm like, this is awesome. Because you're actually choosing to invest in what is going to make or break you on stage.
Yep, exactly right. And that's exactly the importance of posing.
Yeah.
Is it can really separate you from everybody else on stage. I cannot count the amount of amazing physiques I see on stage that don't do as well as what they should because they don't have stage presence, because they don't know how to transition well, because they aren't fluid or interesting to watch. They might have fantastic physique and they may look great in photos, but on stage, that is like half the battle is presenting your physique in the most appealing way.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard the sentence, how did that person beat me? My physique is better.
Yeah.
I would be a millionaire. Honestly, yeah. I would. And because every single time, well, maybe not every single time, but 9 times out of 10 that I hear the sentence, I don't say it to them, but I think to myself, because they can pose.
Yeah.
They can actually present their physique properly on stage. You have an incredible rig.
Yeah.
And you, probably could have won on paper, but the way that you presented your physique, no.
Yeah, exactly right. And like, it's one thing to be able to move well, but even like posing is even just holding a shot in the most effective way. Like there are certain things you can do, like a front double buy. There are certain things that you can do to your body with your elbows, with your hips, with your knees, to make your body look bigger, to make your waist smaller. So maybe your biceps are bigger, maybe your quads are bigger. But if you're not implementing these cues and tactics, the other guy that doesn't have as impressive muscles as you, he might actually look more impressive on stage because he's actually implementing these and displaying his physique in the most effective way. So there's that aspect of the actual positioning of the posing, but there's also the transitions, like how confident you look on stage, that translates to the judges. So it's often overlooked by guys, I've noticed, especially.
Yeah,
I think guys, we're just naturally more physique focused. We're just trying to get shredded as hell. We're trying to have the big muscles, which, at, like, you know, they are important, But I feel like that is a primary focus for guys, is just focusing on the physique. And then the posing is something that, from my experience, you know, 5 to 8 weeks out, they realize, I need a posing coach.
Yeah.
By that point, I feel like it's way too late. You can build something with a posing coach to get, you know, an acceptable presence on stage, like to not look stupid, but to absolutely blow everyone away and beat all the other competitors on stage, you need a much longer time frame than that. And that is well overlooked by guys.
Let's backpedal a second.
What do you got?
So you know how you said before they don't know how to show their physique on stage properly.
Sure.
So imagine going through 20 weeks of dieting, right, and putting all of your eggs into the food, the training, the cardio, all those things.
All the physique-focused things.
Yep, and looking the best you have ever looked in your whole entire life, but not being able to present yourself properly, not being able to actually showcase your hard work.
Yep.
One actual big error that I see in posing, this is mainly in girls, I'm not sure about guys, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
What have you got?
But for the girls, they can pose, as in like they can hit a pose properly. However, they might be in wellness and they're posing like a bikini girl.
Right.
Very different posing. A lot of people think that it's bikini posing. No, it's not.
Gotcha.
If you go onto the wellness stage and you try to pose like a bikini girl, you will look like a bikini girl. Your legs will not stand out. You will look balanced from head to toe. Yeah, okay, your legs might look bigger than your upper body. Maybe you're genetically gifted. However, you want to look huge in the legs. You want to look massive.
Now, is the difference in posing to accentuate the body parts thereafter?
Yes.
Like wellness posing, you would angle the body in a certain way to make the quads look bigger than what a bikini girl would. Is that right?
Yep. And you would have certain weight distribution in certain poses as well to make the glutes pop, the quads pop, the hamstrings pop. You would also manipulate how your upper body is being held in certain poses to ensure that you don't look balanced.
Gotcha.
Like if you have a wellness girl come in and she's quite capped in the upper body, like she has big delts,
you
massive lats.
You wouldn't want to show the delts off.
Absolutely not. Like you would not see them holding a staunch pose. Like you shouldn't do that in wellness because otherwise they're going to look balanced, right? So,
and it makes their lower look smaller because of the less of a contrast between the upper.
Yeah.
You kind of want the upper to look as small as possible, I would imagine, to make the lower look more dominant.
Yeah. And it's the same with athletic girls. So athletic girls, they should be looking like a mini fitness girl, right?
Yep.
But a lot of the time, athletic girls are posing like bikini girls, once again. So they aren't showing their delts, for
which
example.
They should.
They should. Or they are showing their delts, but they're not showing them in a way that actually makes them look balanced from head to toe.
Yep.
They look a little bit smaller in the upper body because they don't know how to tense the upper body. Just like all these little different things. I don't know if that happens in guys. I'm guessing it would.
No, not really, to be honest, because we want symmetry. Like we want every body part to be popping out as much as possible. Hiding a body part almost doesn't exist in male posing. Because you want everything to be popping, right? Muscularity is huge. And there's almost like no cap to an extent. Like you almost can't do like physique and have your shoulders are too big. You
okay,
know, for example.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's more so the entire physique of yourself is too big and then you're then a muscle model. But it's not like you can have one body part that you have developed too much that you have to hide. That's not really something that we focus on. And there's not really a difference in posing and not too much. Like there are certain things that are different between the categories, but not as much as what you're saying here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I'm saying is the one thing that is overlooked a lot in the posing when it comes to females. And it's always heartbreaking telling someone that they've been doing that and that's why they didn't place. Like you just see their face go, wait, what? And it's like, yeah, you're a wellness girl. You're not posing like a wellness girl.
Yeah.
And you just see them go, wait, what? I've spent all this money on this. You know what I mean?
Of course.
I'm not here to badmouth people. I'm not going to do that. But yeah, it is just something to be aware of in the importance of posing and how you're actually showcasing
yourself.
You've
just got to be like really on top of what the requirements are for your class. You've got to know how they want you to pose.
Yeah.
And I feel like a good posing coach should know that.
Well, the importance of posing is the posing coach is supposed to be will have the knowledge of all categories, right? And they should know
for sure
what the category is looking for. So then when we pose them, when we pose our clients who come to us and they say, I'm a fitness girl, awesome.
Yep.
I know exactly what the category is and I know exactly what I have to show in all of your poses. That is our job as posing coaches, right? So that is the most important part of posing. We have to make you fit the category. So anyway, that's the importance of posing.
Yeah, no, of course. Now, with the guys, like, we do very similar poses in every category. It's just the bodies look a different size.
Yeah.
Like, the fitness guys are smaller than physique. Physique guys are smaller than muscle. But we'll all hit an ab and thigh.
Yeah.
Right? We'll all hit a rear double bicep shot.
Yeah.
Like, the shots are the same. It's just the size of your body is different. So you can't really mess up there too much. It's just with the guys, what I've noticed is the main thing that guys are missing out on is the activation of muscles. So one of the big ones is when a guy's hitting a rear double bi, he's hitting his back, he's trying to contract his back and contract his biceps, but he has no idea how to turn his hamstrings on. And you can tell there's not that much fat on his hamstrings. Like, he can turn them on, but there's a certain technique that you actually have to put your leg in, distribute your weight to a certain leg, and pull back to actually contract that hamstring and really get those like guitar string lines coming down. But a lot of guys don't know how to do that. And that's really where most of our posing practice time goes, in being able to control certain muscles and turn them on and just accentuate every single muscle. Like, even a rear double bi, some guys don't turn their biceps on completely. And it comes down to just little things like turning the wrist, like turning your pinky into your ear, and that makes the peak of your bicep shoot up to the ceiling. Whereas you'll see some guys, their wrist is the other way, and that flattens the bicep out. So these are the little intricacies that we actually work on with our posing practice. And most of the time is overlooked by the guys because, you know, every guy hits a front double bicep in the mirror, right? And they're like, I know how to do that shot. But there are so many tweaks that if you're going up against the guy that studies this, or if he goes to a posing coach who, you know, is worth his weight in gold, he'll teach them that. So, you know, because you've hit that shot a million times and, yeah, maybe you look good, maybe you're not displaying it in the best way possible. And that's really where the posing coach comes in.
I find what you're saying for females, it's very common in the midsection. So a lot of girls think that to have a flat midsection, they just suck in.
Right.
That's not the case at all. If you just suck in, your rib cage is going to be flaring like no tomorrow.
Like a vacuum.
Yeah, pretty much. And we don't want that in bikini. No. We don't want that in any female class, actually.
Yeah.
You want to have a flat, defined midsection. Yes. That is the criteria.
Yep.
Okay. So diaphragm work is very important. And
now we're getting advanced.
Yeah. But I teach my girls diaphragm work from day one.
Yep.
Like, I literally say to them, okay, in your position, amazing. All right, now think about your ribcage coming down your belly button and now push all the air out like an open class bodybuilder.
Yes.
And you see their mind just go, what?
Yeah.
Like, I have to do this? And it's like, yeah.
You wouldn't even think it's part of posing.
No, because they think you just have to suck in.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not. It's not just a suck in.
It's not.
It's so much more than that.
100%.
But the best part is when you see their face, like, see it. They see their midsection come in. They see their ribcage come in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just see their mind blown and you're like, yeah. That's what you're supposed to look like. And especially with people, sorry, when people have like a thick midsection and they're trying to make their waist look as small as possible. And it's like, I can make you look smaller. I can.
Yep.
And I teach them that and they're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen my waist so tiny. And it's like, now you have a chance. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. With guys, that's a big thing as well, is waist control.
Mm.
A lot of the time, because we're hitting very exhausting poses where you're tensing every muscle. We're huffing and puffing. You see the guys, we're sweating up there.
Gross.
It's exhausting. You know, a little bit. Yeah, you know, I come off stage, you know, you're a bit hesitant to give me a hug. You know, I'm covered in sweat. Everyone is. But because we're exerting so much energy, we're huffing and puffing. And what happens when you're huffing and puffing? Your midsections go in and out, in and out.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look at all, especially when someone actually is lean. And you see that midsection protrude. And you see it quite a lot with guys. So midsection control is huge. One of the exercises I like giving guys is just do planks, right?
Yeah.
Planks are fantastic for tightening that midsection and getting some good ab control. But what I notice as well, especially this one pose, it's an ab and thigh pose where you get your arms above your head, you put your legs down and tense them, and then you crunch down your abs. Now, a lot of guys will roll over with that pose, like they won't stand up tall. And what happens is like their lower midsection protrudes out.
That makes sense, yeah.
So you actually want to crunch down, but also like pull in.
Like a vacuum almost.
Almost like a vacuum, but like you stop before the vacuum happens.
Yeah.
But like you just pull in so it's flat. But then you squeeze down on that. But if you don't do that first part and you just squeeze down, instead of it becoming flat, because you're pushing down, it pushes out. Like it's got to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
So you've got to pull in. And then with that, as you're holding that position, you squeeze down. But it's interesting. When you're doing the posing sessions, you want them to get in that pose and then try to understand how to do that. And like they'll be in that pose and they can't figure it out a lot of the time. Like, how do I pull this bottom part in without like doing a vacuum? And same thing, when they're able to move that one part of their midsection, they're like, oh, what the hell? Because it looks awesome.
It does.
You get your V-line really developed, your midsection looks flat. I always imagine that like your brain has a number of strings coming down attached to different parts of your body. You just got to figure out which string is attached to that part of your abs and then just pull on that string.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not as easy as saying, just tense your abs. It's like, what does that mean? You know, it's not what you want to do. But midsection control is huge. And you see it because we in FMG do quarter turns. You see a lot of guys, especially in the transitions. The transitions will catch you out.
That's where you see it most.
A lot of guys chill out. A lot of guys relax and then they move to the side. And in that transition, you see that gut hanging out, right? Because they've just exited a pose. They're exhausted waiting for that quarter turn break. But it's not a break because I can see your midsection as you turn. And, you know, that's what stands out. So if you're able to have a tight midsection control the entire time you're on stage, you'll never see that gut spill out. And it's so obvious when it happens with guys, unfortunately.
Well, it's like for girls and guys, regardless, like when you're on, you're on. When you are on stage the whole time.
Your feet or heels are on stage, you are on.
You're on. You don't have a chance to chill. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest mistake that people make. They go, oh, the quarter turns are done. Awesome. I get to chill as I walk away. No.
No chance.
No. You keep those glutes up because they're looking at you walking away. If your glutes jiggle, no conditioning for you.
One of the times I noticed it, because I was a judge recently at the Bali show, and it was kind of funny reflecting on like what I noticed, like subconsciously, like what I was actually looking at and what stood out to me. A lot of the time when people would do their T-walks and then, you know, return to the back of the stage, you'd see a lot of people chill out.
Yeah.
But if there was one person that looked amazing, you know, I might be following them at the back. I might be looking at them and just seeing how they look and just getting as much, you know, visual time on them as possible. So if they're chilling there, if they're not looking the best, but then this person next to them is really on, you know, my opinion might change a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. So, makes sense.
Yeah. So anytime you're on stage, especially if you're like a top competitor, the judges are going to be looking at you more than ever.
Absolutely.
And they'll take any chance they can. So stay on the whole time.
So you mentioned before that guys are starting too late.
Yeah, guys, they definitely don't start. You know, you'll very rarely see a guy come to a posing coach and say, I'm competing in 1 year, I just want to get the foundations.
So what would, as a posing coach then, for guys, what would you prefer to have? I'm sure there's heaps of guys listening going, I need to start my posing soon.
Yep.
Like, when should they start?
You know, there's never you say this all the time, you can never start too early, you can just start too late. Now, I'm not saying you need to get a posing coach a year out, but I would say like at minimum, get one, especially if you've not posed before, get one 16, 18 weeks out. Now, this is how I do it, depending on how much help you need. Like if you're moving really, really well, maybe we'll start with fortnightly sessions, right? But, you know, if you're really keen, you know, we'll do the weekly sessions. But if it's someone that's green as goose shit and they haven't done any posing, you like that one?
What a saying.
Just green, like they haven't got any skin in the game. They're brand new. They would require weekly posing sessions. And especially for FMG, where there's so many moving parts, there's a T-walk, a side T-walk, right T-walk, comparisons. And now, actually, you know, this is the most crucial time. For the guys, for those who don't know, we now have mandatory poses. So for physique and muscle, we now, as males, have 6 mandatory poses to hit.
That's new.
This is brand new. So posing actually is becoming a much more important topic at the moment, because those poses, honestly, like if you don't practice those poses, you'll look a little bit silly. There's so many things that go into those ones. But I would say like at minimum 16 to 18 weeks. And depending on what your posing coach thinks, you could even see them every single week leading up to the show, just because there are so many bases to touch on. So many little things that you don't even think that you need to practice, or you don't even think is part of posing. Like breath work. Like we run through how to keep your midsection tight and breathe through your chest. Breathe through your teeth so you're not huffing and puffing. That's a skill in itself, and we can spend a whole session on that.
Well, you taught me that, actually.
The sips.
Breathing through the teeth. Yeah. Because I remember I was trying to get into the diaphragm work, like what we were talking about.
Yep.
And I couldn't figure out how to breathe with the smile.
Yeah.
And you taught me that in the garage. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah, there you go.
That was before my FM or WBFF debut.
Yeah, so ideally you want to be on stage hitting a pose for like as long as you can, but obviously you need to breathe, but you don't want to be huffing and puffing, so you can keep a smile. There's a technique that we can teach of how to sip little breaths in and out while you're still holding a smile, and then it doesn't disrupt your posing. And, you know, all the elite guys, they're doing this stuff, and I guarantee you this is stuff that you probably wouldn't even realize as part of posing practice.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think for girls, earlier the better. Like, honestly, if you come to me a year out, I love you.
Well, you've got a whole other aspect of heel walking.
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot that we do for females. My cutoff is 16 weeks out. So if your first session with me is not booked in on the 16 weeks out mark, I will not take you on. Like, it's as simple as that.
Because you want to guarantee results, right?
Exactly.
So you can't guarantee results if someone comes to you 5 weeks out.
Absolutely.
Like, I can try my best, but you almost like don't want to put your name on something that you can't confirm is going to be amazing.
I just can't give them what they need. I know I can't.
Yeah.
So yeah, my cutoff time is 16 weeks out. So honestly, most girls start with me a year to 6 months out. But the one tip that I do say, even to my own prep clients, once you decide to compete, go pose. Like, once you know that you're going to compete in that federation, book your posing session with your posing coach.
Even if you were able to get like one or two sessions just to get the foundations, just to like, even for your coach, like my first session with my guys is usually just figuring out three or four poses that they look quite good in.
Yeah.
And then building the foundation on that, just giving them a framework of how to hit that pose. Because then, you know, if we're that far out, you know, with your girls that maybe 1 year out, they probably don't need to see you every single week, right?
No, they see me monthly.
There you go. Well, in that time, right, you get your first session in, you show them a few poses, you give them homework, right? Like they go away and now they have something to practice. Whereas if they hadn't gotten a session with you, maybe they're just practicing these poses and just hitting them completely wrong.
Yeah.
But if you just give them a brief framework, they've actually got something to go off and, you know, they know how to hit it in the mirror. And then obviously get another session and work on that. But getting a framework as early as you can, I feel is crucial.
100%. So how to choose a posing coach?
How to choose a
posing coach? We know when to start. We know that it's important. But how do I find that posing coach that is going to be the best for me? Because everyone's different. Everyone responds in different ways. And they might need in person. They might need online. How do you find the right posing coach for you? I say do your research. That's the most important thing. Do not just pick the first one that you see or pick your favorite pro. Like, no, that's not what happens.
Yeah.
That's not what you should do.
That's right.
You need to actually do your research on the posing coaches.
Yep.
When doing your research, look for results. So do they actually give good results? Do they work with the top of the food chain? That's always a good one, I find. Like, if they work with very good athletes, they're probably a good posing coach.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I chose Tani, because Tani, in my opinion and a lot of people's opinion, she is the best of the best, top of the food chain.
Yes, yeah,
she works with pro champions, right? So that's the person that I want to work with.
Yeah. And herself is an extremely good poser. Like, she's a standout poser. No one outposes her on stage. Like, she obviously has a lot to teach.
However, I will just say with that, just because you're a good poser does not mean that you can teach.
I was waiting for that one.
So, sorry. But, like, there are so many amazing posers in the ranks of amateurs and pros.
Yep.
It does not mean that they can teach you. Okay, so that's probably, like, I'm going to call it clickbait. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it clickbait. Just because someone has posted a video of them posing, like, their stage video, and, like, it's an amazing video, and they say that they're a posing coach, I can guarantee they probably can't teach you what they know on stage, because what they've done on stage works for them. Okay. And it doesn't mean that you're going to look like that, because they might not be able to teach.
Well, the thing is, they might be a really good student.
Exactly.
They might have got an opposing coach themselves, and they might have been really receptive to everything they were being taught, but it doesn't make them a good teacher. Not that part, but they, you know, they could have developed the skills of being able to teach it, but you know, they might just be able to learn really well and apply what their coach has told them.
Yeah.
But there's a whole other aspect to posing coaching. Like, to give someone a routine and make that work for them, like, that's one thing. But to actually have the eye to see, no, this pose actually doesn't suit you. Because
it's
of your frame.
It's a very meticulous eye. Yeah.
You've really got to see what poses suit this certain person. Maybe their body just simply doesn't move in the way that that pose requires them to. And then you, as the coach, you have to identify that, and then you have to give a suggestion over another pose that could work well for them. So that's the whole another aspect as well, is just having that attention to detail and being able to be aware of when a certain posing style isn't right for someone.
I will also say, don't pick the cheap option because it's cheap.
Oh, don't do no. that to yourself. They're probably like, cheap for a reason, yeah, let's be honest.
Exactly. And like, don't get me wrong, they might be a beginner into it, but they might have a great mentor. Like that, I understand that. Like if they have an amazing mentor and they're a bit cheaper, yep. Okay, most likely your posing is being looked over by the mentor. So that's awesome. That kind of setup, awesome. But if it's just cheap and it's a cheaper option for you, no. Like honestly, if you can invest in posing, it's going to be the best for you.
100%. Because, yeah, you don't want to have cheap posing.
Exactly.
Right? You don't want your posing to look cheap.
You also don't want to copy and paste routine.
Yeah, I mean,
that happens more than you think, unfortunately.
Yeah. See, now that's a sign of bad posing coaching, because you're not identifying what that person needs. You're just rinsing and repeating, and it's so personal.
Yeah.
There's certain poses that other guys hit. I'm like, I just wouldn't look good hitting that.
Yeah.
Like, I already know that's not a pose for me.
Exactly.
It works great for him, and fair play, but I know it's not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was a bad posing coach I was with, maybe he's like, oh, that pose is a great pose. Lucas, do this pose. And like, if I didn't know anything, I'd be hitting that pose on stage looking a little bit silly.
And I had this discussion with you this morning, or was it yesterday? I can't remember. But anyway, I said this to you, which was, do not choose two posing coaches.
Yeah, it doesn't actually make any sense.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It's just,
everyone has their own style. Everyone has their own way of posing. Like if you go to one coach, like what's more than likely going to happen? You're going to see one posing coach. You might learn a few things. You might go to the next posing coach and he just changes it. And then you go to the other posing coach and he's teaching you his original style, but you've already learned this other guy's style. And it honestly just doesn't work. You get one posing coach and you stick with them.
And you should be happy with what you're getting from the posing coach. Like you shouldn't be sitting there thinking, oh, but what if I worked with this posing coach? If you're thinking that, you probably want to go work with the other posing coach, and that's totally okay.
If you're with a good posing coach, you should know that I'm taken care of.
Yeah,
I don't need another posing coach.
Exactly.
You don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. It gets confusing.
Cooks in the kitchen.
Just people stepping over each other's toes. You just don't want that. I'm getting you with these, hey. but also, like, choose a posing coach that has a style that you like as well.
Yeah, that's true.
There might be a posing coach that does really well in a style that suits him. He might have like a slow artistic style and it works great for him because he nails it. But maybe you want like the fun, outgoing, like zippy posing. Like me personally, I love the extravagant arms and I'm throwing my arms everywhere and taking up all the space. Whereas a few other guys, they're a bit more reserved and they look awesome because that's their style. Yeah. So you kind of have to see what style do you want your posing to look like.
Yeah, that's very true, man. So, off-season posing, that is just as important as in prep posing. You should be posing in the off-season.
Yeah, I mean, if you want the best results, absolutely. You know, you don't need to see a posing coach every single week in the off-season, but
once a month is always good.
Yeah, definitely still do your own posing.
Yeah, but there are drills that you can do. I know like a lot of people go, but what do I do for posing? Like, what do I actually, when I go and practice my posing, do I just go through the motion and just go through my, no. Don't do that. Yes, you know, do it at the end, but that's not practice. You want to think of it like you're a famous sports athlete, right? Do you really think they're sitting there just playing, like basketball? Do you really think they're just playing basketball over and over and over again?
Yeah.
No, they have drills.
That's right.
They have certain things that they need to do for practice.
That's right. Right?
So it's the exact same thing for posing. So for my girls, especially in the early days or in the off-season posing, I get them to do more so I don't know the word I'm looking for, but it'll come to me. But
we'll finish this podcast. Sam will be like, it was time for
that
everything.
That word, damn. But basically, I get my girls to actually hold their poses for 10 seconds, 10 times.
Yep.
So I know it's going to sound a bit weird for FMG people because they're like, but we move through our poses. Like, we don't hold. Bow, bow. You need to be able to hold your pose like a picture and your arms move while you're holding it perfectly.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those like, perma transition competitors.
No.
Where you're just constantly in a state of transitioning.
Yeah, no. You need to actually be able to hit your pose so your judges can see the pose, but your arms can move while holding your pose perfectly still. Stamina. That's what I was looking for.
What is it?
Stamina.
Stamina.
Yeah, like endurance. Yes. Like, yeah.
Gotcha.
So the 10 second holds, you want to do it 10 times for every pose that you
hit.
That's
actually a big one, stamina.
Yeah, like posing that. Endurance, stamina. Like absolutely. Actually being able to pose for the full 30 minutes on stage without declining in your without poses. Without
gassing and turning your abs off. And
it's so important.
You lose your midsection.
Once again, overlooked. Overlooked by a lot of people. Yeah.
I feel like that also comes down to when you're posing with a posing coach and even by yourself, do the rounds.
Yeah.
Do the quarter turns twice without stopping. Imagine the judges are looking at you and the music's blaring. Don't just hit one pose and then just relax and then hit the next pose. Pretend you're on stage. Like, go through like 10 full minutes, 15 full minutes and just try to keep everything on.
Practice to the shows. So practice to the like the recordings of the shows, because then you can actually practice to what the judges are wanting. And then you have no idea how long you have, and you also have no idea what call they're going to do.
Wait, you mean like have the audio playing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new one.
That's what I say to all my girls.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very helpful. That's what I do sometimes as well.
It's not a bad idea.
No, hold your pose for 10 seconds. Be absolutely still. Like, you should look like a picture. If you're filming yourself, I would think that my phone's frozen. That's how still you should be. And then do that 10 times for every single pose. Once you've done that, then start adding your arms, then start adding your footwork, then do your rounds of your T-walks and whatever.
Yep.
If you're just going through the motions and not actually having any intention with your posing, you're wasting your time. Because as we've just said, when you actually get on stage and you end up being on there for 30 minutes, your stamina and your endurance is going to really show.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
I think another thing with the male posing is guys that do vacuums, don't just stop vacuums when prep's over.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be like a vacuum Hoover 3000 on stage, you want to be doing your vacuums in the off season as well. And also just abdominal work like that. Like, in the off season is where I'm doing my my planks. I'm trying to get good waist control, and that just translates over to stage.
It's the same in girls. Yeah. Do your vacuums in the off season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Happy days.
We could talk about posing for hours, honestly. We really could. But if you guys want to work with us, shameless plug, if you guys want to work with us as posing coaches.
It's our podcast. Do what I want.
I do FMG for the Posing Institute, but I also do have a whole team of girls behind me who work in ICN, IFBB, NBA, everything you can think of. So you're more than welcome to join our team. Send me a message on _ Samantha Wicks on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Babe, how can they pose with you?
So you can find me at Coach Lucas on Instagram. Honestly, I do males from all federations and pretty much all categories. I've done men's physique, done FMG fitness physique, open to muscle model, even open bodybuilding. Like, a lot of the poses that we do on stage are classic and bodybuilding poses. So any federation, more than happy to jump on and get you a killer routine. But mainly focusing primarily on the FMG posing. Mm-hmm. So if you are entering an FMG show in the future, absolutely, let's get on stage and let's get you looking absolutely fantastic.
Hell yeah. But if you have any questions, message us. As always, our DMs are always open.
And as you've seen today, we love talking about this.
Oh, we could talk about it for so long. We get so passionate about it. We really
do. Next week, posing episode 2.
We honestly could, though.
We could.
Don't joke about it, because we will.
We will. We'll do it. If enough of you say we love that episode, we'll do a second one.
Oh, honestly, we will. All right, guys, have a fantastic week or day whenever you are listening to this, and we shall chat to you next time.
Happy posing.
Bye.
Bye.